following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Maybe of this very dark place, and saved you jail or in the streets where you've probably been surrounded by drugs or by this criminal life, and yet Christ still called you, beckoned you, came. Or you have more of this story similar to mine, where it's this very ordinary family. You were raised up, and you heard the call, and you came. No matter what, though, we can all come together in our shared experience, in who Jesus is. And we come to this place to worship and praise. But church, there's also my fear as well, that there are people who think they are a Christian when they are not. They call themselves, yet their life is evident of the faith within them. With their words, they call themselves Christians, and yet they totally live a separate life. With their words, they say they have totally and utterly meaningless. With their words, they say they believe in God, and yet their actions show that they are unrepented of the sins on which they live. They desire the treasures that heaven has, but do not want the obedience that it costs. They do not want to listen to the captain of the ship. And here, as we look at James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is his message, is that this is it. Your focus and your call to have a living faith. And that faith must be exemplified and evident through works. See, James' message, during that day and age, he is calling his believers, saying, hey, prove the faith that is within you. And show that through your works. And brothers and sisters, listen in closely. The message is still true today. By faith, we're called to live that out and have a living faith. So if you leave tonight, this is the one thing I really want us to get at. And this is probably the main idea, the main point of this message. We need to have a living faith. And that living faith is evident in our actions. So listen as I read James chapter 2. This is what James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save? If your brother or sister is naked and distraught of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself does not have works, is dead. But if someone says, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith and I'll show you my faith by my works. And I will, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble in fear. But do you know, faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. In the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so also the faith without works is dead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God of creation, Lord of lords, the God of hosts, Lord, let us look at your word and let the Holy Spirit convict us of our sins when needed. And Lord, let it edify us of this living faith. Lord, let us look to your word and what it means to be Christian today. Lord, if there's anyone here who is distracted or has never heard the gospel, speak to them. They need to have a living faith. And let their faith not be dead, deceived. Lord, I pray this, that the Holy Spirit works tonight. And we do this all in your Son's mighty name. And everybody said, amen. So as we look at this word, James clearly makes two distinctions of what he's characterizing. Two distinctions in this message. The first being this, it's called a faith. That's shown through verses 14 through 15. Beginning at verses 14, James opens up and says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save?" Truly, he's begging the question at this moment. Does your faith show what you believe? And he says, no. If that faith is not living as an example, that faith is dead. And is not evident of the transformative life of Jesus in this message. So you see this as well. We know this in the other parts of the scripture, that we are saved by Jesus alone. Amen? We are saved by Jesus alone. But it seems James is contradicting the rest of the story. See, Paul as well teaches this message in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16. And it says this, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus." Paul's message is that we have been bought and we are justified in faith in him alone. So, what's going on with the apostles? They're both under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we know this, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they don't contradict each other. But it seems like they are. The apostles are butting heads. They're colliding right now, fists against each other. So, what is going on? Well, we need to examine this. What does it mean by works? What does Paul mean by works? What does James mean by works? Because they're talking about two separate things in this moment. See, Paul is referring to the works of the law. And he's referring to the Old Testament laws, saying that those things, the works of the law, does not give you a faith alone in Jesus. As well, we see in Romans, that Paul's message is this, that you, therefore, you have with God. Faith in Jesus has saved you and justified you. And James, when he's referring to works, he's not referring to the works of the law, but works in obedience. Father. Meaning this, you need to live a life in obedience, in accordance to God. And you need to live a life that is repentant of sin. And this is even true in Paul's letters to Romans. You look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that we increase? And Paul says, no. No, 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 no. We are not to continue in sin. And James is echoing that. We are not to continue to do the things that are in opposition to God's word and in opposition to God. So Paul and James, they're not in opposition with one another. They're actually in agreement with each other. They're both saying we are justified in faith. Yes, but that faith needs to be lived out. And James, when he talks about this dead faith, he says this, if you have faith in this deadness and you're calling yourself a Christian, you are in a useless state. Matter of fact, he says, not only are you useless, you are dead. You have nothing going on to really show the evidence of God working in your life. Brothers and sisters, listening closely to this. We see this today. We see this now, today, more than ever. We see so many people, they call themselves Christians, but they do not show the power of that faith. They have not been regenerated. They have not been brought back to life by Christ. I remember many times sharing the gospel or encountering people as I go about my day. And the things that I hear as well is like, I would tell people like, hey, I'm a Christian. I go to and I'm actually a minister of the world to talk to you about Jesus. You Christian. 90% of the time, I get, yes, I live in New York. Again, I get this. I'm like, okay, what happened? And the response is like, kind of wild. I'm like, hey, what church do you go to? How do you impact your community? Church. And sometimes I just hear, oh, I don't go to church. They're a bunch of liars. Okay, strange. Aren't we all liars and hypocrites, though? You're perfect, then, if you call yourself a Christian. And they always say, no, I'm not perfect. Well, I also get this response. It's like, oh, yes, I go to church. I'm like, okay, how do you impact your church? How do you serve your brothers and sisters in the faith? And I get this as well. It's like, oh, I don't do anything. A lot of times they just like to soak up the message and get the good stuff and ignore the bad stuff. The stuff about, hey, you are a sinner and hey, you need to be transformed by the power of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, that's not what James's message, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's not what God's message is for Christians. We are not to have a dead faith. We are not made to sit idly by. We are not made to be bench warmers. We are meant to be on the field. Our faith daily. And again, brothers and sisters, hear me when I say this, because I want to say this with the utmost love. And if you're feeling uncomfortable with this message, and this is kind of like hitting you and shrugging to your heart, it may be because of this. You are living in a dead faith. You are not living out the gospel message. You are not doing what God has made you out to be. If you can't say amen to that, you better say ouch. Again, we have been bought at a price. And we were not made to sit idly by. The power of the gospel transforms us in the renewing of the Holy Spirit, to live out the faith of Jesus. Matter of fact, James, in this message, he pokes the bear even more. Because look, at verses 15, he says this, if a brother or a sister is naked and distraught of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? James is saying, what do you do? What use is that? You have a brother or sister in need, and yet you do nothing. James says that that is useless. Useless just for this, but useless to the kingdom of God. Not serving your brothers and sisters. Again, we need to not sit idly by. A dead faith is useless. So we have this first characteristic, this first distinction of a dead faith. Then we have what is truly what is to be lived out. Does it mean to be a Christian? This right here, the second distinction, it shows what does it mean to be a follower of Christ. And that is a living faith. A living faith. There's no middle ground in this. You're either having a living faith or a dead faith. There is no undead faith. There's no zombies walking. The one thing I appreciate this too, seeing probably more of our modern media about the zombie, is I know this. That is a fictional story. It is not true. Dead men don't rise out of the dead in dying flesh. It's either you're living or you're dead. And that is the second distinction that we're going to look at. So look here at verses 18. James says this. It says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have work. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you by my works. James begins this by saying this. Oh, you call yourself a Christian. Prove it. You say that you are a follower of Jesus. Prove it. You say that you have faith in one God and one God alone. Prove it. And James even emphasized this in verses 19. He says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder and tremble. James, at that moment, he's saying, so what? James is kind of poking again that barrier. He's saying, you have faith. Prove it now. That's James's challenges to his audience. And that's James's challenges to Christians. You have faith, and it needs to be lived out through your works. James, he's willing to prove it as well. Saying, I will show you my faith, and I will show what Christ has done in my life. And I will show it through my works. Again, brothers, that is James's message to us. That is true to us today. As Christians, we are called to live out the faith within us. We are called to show others around us what does it mean to be a Christian. We need to live out the faith that Jesus has bought us for. We need to be active. We need to be on the field. We need to be in the battlefield. Showing people what does it mean to truly be a follower of Jesus. Again, James, he points at the demons. And he does so saying this. They're in fear of God. They believe. Why is that? Why are they in fear? Why are they scared? Brothers and sisters, I believe because they know this. If you are in a dead faith, you are in their hands. If you show that you do not want to live out the life and live in this lie, And they're in fear whenever the Holy Spirit regenerates your heart, brings you back to life, and you're reborn. That you have this living faith and you show that. They tremble. Why? Because A, you lost someone. And B, they're scared that you're going to tell someone else. They're scared that you're going to tell someone with a dead faith. And brothers and sisters too, they say this, James says this too, you believe in one God. Guess what? There are different religions that believe in one God. The religion of Muslims, of Islam, they believe in one God, Allah. And they also believe in Jesus, but they do not believe he is God. And they are deceived by the message from Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, we need to listen to the words of Jesus. Not into from someone else. We listen to him in obedient to his call. And Jesus calls us. He does. He calls us whenever he calls. He calls us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. We are to do march itself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a minister during World War II, he put this very well in his book, Call of Discipleship, and it says this: he calls him and bids him something. Because that is true when Jesus calls us to take up our cross daily. Because it's not just a message that we look at the cross, but we remember this, what that cross means. That our God stood on that cross. Jesus stood on that cross. And he died there. But brothers and sisters, he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, defeating the grave itself. So that he can buy you. Brothers and sisters, that is what a living faith looks like. The thing is, James continues hammering in onto this. If you've ever been to college or has ever show your work, you got to show your proof. Or if you've ever done your taxes, you got to keep your receipts. James right now is showing him the examples before us. So if you look if you're taking notes, under living faith, we have the exemplars of our faith. And he points to two people, Rahab and Abraham. First, at Abraham, he looks to him as proof of someone with a living faith. James, he calls back to the moment of the binding of Isaac, where Isaac was bounded up and was prepared to be sacrificed before God. And Abraham offered him up because God called him. And if that makes you uncomfortable of just a father about to sacrifice his son, here's a little bit of a tidbit. Abraham is well into his hundreds. Isaac is a young boy, a young man. If Isaac was wanting to, and he could have, decided to run away, could have. So Isaac did not go unknowingly to be sacrificed. He went willingly. Why? Because he knew what God was about to do. So again, James is calling back to Genesis chapter 22, to the binding. And in that moment, whenever he was about to strike him down, God called him and says, "Do not stretch your hand against the boy. And do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." See, God saw his faith. God saw that Abraham feared God. Saw that he, in that fear, he was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice before him. And God intervened and he said, you will not do this. And therefore, he withheld the sacrifice of Isaac. Then behold, we know this, a ram is called and a ram has come and it is the sacrifice there. And God speaks to Abraham again of what has just happened. And he says, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and not has spared your son, your only son. God has offered and given him a blessing. And James writes about this. He looks at Genesis chapter 22. And he says this. He says the scripture was fulfilled. And he's pointing back to even further in Genesis chapter 15. Saying this, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. I'm going to pause there because doesn't that just sound great? He wasn't called a servant of God. He was called a friend of God. And brothers and sisters, when we are justified, guess what we are? We are friends of God. And we are also heirs to this, to the throne. And we have been brought and we are now entering into the kingdom of God. We look to Abraham and he displayed his living faith. Now look at Rahab, another person who showed this living faith. She looked and said that she brought in the messengers, the spies, also sent them out. See, look to Joshua chapter 2. In the book of Joshua, in that moment, the prophet Joshua is about to enter the city of Jericho. And it's there, they're about to go into battle. And Joshua sends spies. And a spy, they don't really know where to stay at that moment. But there's a person there, and her name is Rahab. And Rahab takes them in and protects them from the city of Jericho, the Canaanites. And it says this in the book, in verses 9 through 10. And said to the men, this is her speaking right now. I know the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants, the land, are faint-hearted because of you. For we know and have heard the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan in Sahara and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Rahab heard what the Lord has done for them and has heard how the Israelites were pulled out of bondage, pulled out of slavery, and that the Lord, and the question, why is she doing all this for them? Why is she harboring in, knowing that she could be put to death for this? And it's because of this, as we look at verses 11. For the Lord your God, he is God. It's as simple as that. The Lord that you serve, he is the Lord God. He is God. And brothers and sisters, and because of that, the Israelites protected her. She lived out her faith. And here's the beautiful thing. James is now an example of this. James, an example of what a living faith looks like. See, we look to the testimony of James. James was a disciple. He's an eyewitness testimony. He saw Jesus face to face, and he was one of the 12 disciples. So he saw Jesus die on the cross. He also saw Jesus raised from the dead. And from there, in that moment of those 3 days, he goes from a fearful man to a fearless follower. As soon as Jesus got out of that grave, he went from fearful to fearless. He took up his cross, knowing what would it cost. And he lived out the faith. And that cross he took up was a literal cross. Because we know this, he eventually died a martyr's death. And brothers and sisters, again, get in close and listen to me carefully. We look to them as examples of what a living faith is like. They lived out their faith. Rahab, Abraham, James, completely and utterly towards God. And we look to them and we say, that is the example set for us. We should be willing to know what it means to follow Jesus. Sacrifice ourselves for the name of Christ. And here's the thing too. If I'm still bothering you, I'm just reading the words of the Bible. This is just God speaking and convicting you. And if you're sitting there saying, okay, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What is this gospel that you tell me? And what? So the gospel message is this. God on his throne has saw creation. And he saw that we could not reconcile ourselves to God. No matter what we do, we have done nothing that has utterly shown any ounce of reconciliation. The gospel, the Bible says this, that it is but coals, it is but filth, it is but trash. And as that, we are covered in filth. We are covered in our trash. We are covered in the disgustingness of sin itself. And God saw that. And he looks to Jesus. And he says, there is my creation. There is the people who have sinned against me. And my justice needs to be quenched. It needs to be poured out against it. Sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God requires perfection. And Jesus says this, I will step down from my throne and I will write myself into the story. He has written himself into the Bible. God has written himself into the Bible. And God has entered into this world. God has taken on flesh. And we see that through the life of Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life on our behalf. He lived the law to perfection. God, Jesus, wrapped in flesh, he was tempted in many ways. And yet, despite his temptation and his human nature, in his divine nature, he did perfect. He has never once sinned against God. And in that, he always preached this message, believe and repent, believe and repent, believe and repent. And the Romans and the Jews, they saw this message and they said, this man needs to be silenced. So they hung on the cross. They beaten and bruised him and battered him. They nailed and pierced him with a crown of thorns. And above them, they mocked him even more by saying, this is Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. That cross, that is where everything changed. Why? Because that is where Jesus has made that sacrifice. There, he is acting as the atonement lamb. There, he is taking up sin onto himself. Our sins, the things that we have done against God himself. God is putting it onto himself. Our filth, our transgressions, our unrighteousness. And he is pouring it onto himself. And in return, he is clothing us into his righteousness. And he says, you are now clean if you place your faith alone in me. In there, you will be reconciled to the Father, and you've been reconciled to God. And if you believe in me, you will live. You will no longer be fearful of the truth. You will no longer be fearful to be quiet of this message, but you will be fearless. The gospel message transforms the lives of people. The gospel message is not made for us to be idly by. It is made for us to live out the faith, a living faith, Father, or Son, or the Spirit. And listen to this, and get in close. And if you're hearing that and desiring to say, I see it now. I can't just be quiet. I can't just sit idly by. I can't be a dead faith. It is not saving. This is a moment where you live out your faith. Obedience to the Father. We are going to have a moment of response where you can say, I have sinned against the Father. I have sinned against God. And yet I see this, that the Jesus man, the God man himself, has bought me, and I want to place my faith in him. And here's the thing too, we as a church are going to walk together, show you what is that to live out faith, that living faith. So as we come to a close and we go into a time of repentance, let's remember this. We need to live out our faith. Any step. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into a time of response. As we go into a close, we go into a time of, as well, worship. Let the gospel message be true. That we are to live out our faith. Lord, you have died the debt that we deserve. You were the atoning sacrifice. You were the lamb that was bought, covered in our sin, covered in our blood. And you have reconciled and brought us back to the Father. Lord, as we close, if there's anyone in here who recognizes that the dead faith that they have is worthless, it is useless, it is dead. This is a moment for them to say, I'm willing to live this out now. I cannot sit down. I am antsy. I am itching. I am desiring to say, I am Jesus. And Lord, we love to walk with that person, walk with them and raise them up and show them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For them to take up their cross daily and willing to die. But we know this too. Lord, we do not stay dead at the end. Lord, but one day we are going to be brought back to life. And there's going to be a day of resurrection where you are going to come back. And you're going to separate the wheat from the tares. The sheep from the goats. And you will bring it back to perfection. We're in that new heaven and new earth where we are brought to the Father and we see him face to face. And it's there we're going to live in eternity. And your kingdom will be everlasting. Lord, let this message hit someone today. And we do this all in your Son's mighty name. And we all say his name, Jesus. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.